I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the evolution of our body, our mind, our consciousness, and how we can access more of our human potential. And that's why I'm talking to today's guest, who I met recently at a conference about time travel. But tonight's guest was probably one of the most interesting people I met there, even though he was not a participant. His name is Jerry Maddux, and he... Well, when I met him, he looked about 50, maybe early 60s. I asked him how old he was for some reason, and he said he was 87. I said, oh, my God, you got to tell me the secrets to your longevity and your clarity of mind and your vitality in your body. So today's show, Jerry is going to share some of his secrets that he's discovered by using it with his own body, and he really is living proof of what's possible in the physical realm. And of course, he has a great mind, and he has a whole level of spiritual philosophy. But today, Jerry, let's just talk about your practices as a health aware practitioner. So, welcome to the program.
Well, glad to be here, Alan. I enjoy talking about something that's occupied my life for the last 50 years.
Right. That's what's so fascinating about what occupied your life. So let's start like back when you became aware that you could actually do something or take some supplements that could prolong your vitality and your body's health. How did it start for you? Like, what was your thinking? Because it was sort of not the normal way of thinking about life. People feel they have to get older, they have to get ill and, you know, decrepit, and that never entered your consciousness. But what was the first thing that was part of that awareness for you?
Well, it's probably a genetic thing. I can remember back to when I was 4 and I got a wagon for Christmas, and all I did with it, I got a screwdriver and took it all apart with pliers and had pieces all over, and I got in all that trouble, and I wasn't able to explain that. I was just fascinated with how this worked, and my whole life has been driven by this desire to know what's going on and the important things in the future. And when I was at Yale University I was there for 2 years, 48 to 50. They had this situation there where people would put little things on the bulletin board, little notes saying, anyone wants to come and talk about my new idea, come on up to room so-and-so. And I would always go up to those things and sit there in an easy chair. Maybe only 4 or 5 of us would show up. And the person that was talking about it would be there. And a good example was one time the guy was showing us how he could stick a tube up in your leg and send it up in a vein all the way to the heart and extract blood. We call that a catheter today. Mm-hmm. And he got a Nobel Prize for that years later. So the things that are around early on often don't show up in the general public for many years. In this particular case, it was probably 20 years before I began to hear about these catheters out in the open. And this went on and on, often. And the outcome of that was that I realized there's a lag time between the exposure of new ideas, not just thoughts, but actual scientifically based processes that are valid and workable, but it goes anywhere from 10 to 20 years before they reach the public. And so another good example of that, I remember I was reading about the discovery of Heliobacter by these two Australian medical persons here about 30 years ago, and they decided these little bugs that live in your stomach were the source of ulcers. And I thought, oh my God, exciting. And they were cured just by taking Pepto-Bismol. And here we always had thought that ulcers were part of stress and everything. It's true that those are factors in its acceleration or intensity, but the real thing was these little heliobacters, and I thought, boy, that's going to revolutionize the treatment. Well, it did, but I was waiting for it to come out. It was over 10 years before I began to hear about that, and I thought, and that really impressed me with the delay that we have built into our medical system. That
no, you've always been ahead of your time. You've always been, in a way, on top of it, but what was the first idea you had that you could preserve the current age of your body? What was the first supplement, and how did that kind of thinking come about? I mean, so I want to know what your actual techniques for your preservation and longevity are.
Well, with this interest in everything, and then it was evolved into an interest in the biology and my own body. And when I went to Yale, my specialty was biophysics, which they kind of put together for me. That was a combination of biology and physics, and in today's world, that would resolve. A biophysicist would be doing such things as working on the photons, the biophoton field of light that surrounds our bodies and the cells that emit light to communicate with one another. Here's a combination of physics and study of light and the study of health. And later, of course, in early days, little was known. But then it began to become more specific in things you could actually do. And that first impact story of mine, when that first happened, I was about 1956 or 55, along in there. I was taking a pre-med course. My studies had been interrupted by two wars, World War II, and then later on I was called back for Korean War. So I had to go back to school and kind of refresh, and I was taking a pre-med course because that was part of my biophysics study, actually, biology and physics. And I was taking a course in organic chemistry, and the professor was also a biochemist, so that's a study of the chemical processes that go on in the body, which are extensive, and for example, there's probably 100,000 chemical responses every second in your body, to give you an idea of the magnitude of this process. And he was talking about something called antioxidants that had just been discovered, and they were working on their effect on the body. And he happened to be because he was a biochemist.
Wait, let me just clarify that. People don't realize, they think oxygen is good for you. And they don't realize also there's the free radicals that are generated by too much oxidation. Isn't that the theory behind antioxidants?
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up, because they're so common to me, I tend to just talk about it, and I understand that actually the chemistry of it is not well known. It's a term that refers to chemical particles that have been broken apart, and for some chemical reason. And for example, this isn't an exact thing, but it would give you an idea. You have to have acid in your stomach, hydrochloric acid, HCl. Well, when's the last time you had a glass of acid? Well, you
right.
didn't. But so it's made. It's created in your body by breaking water in half, HOH, H2O, that means H, two H's and one O. H is hydrogen and the O is oxygen. If you break one of the hydrogens off to make acid, acid is a loose hydrogen, actually basically what it is, and that is tied up with chlorine that they get from table salt, NaCl. To break that in half, the salt in half, and the water in half and a third, and then they make this acid, and it's put into your stomach. But you're left over. The oxidants are the things that are left over. If you break the salt in half and take the chlorine away, you've got sodium, and which is very necessary and used throughout the body and the nervous system. But it's a powerful chemical. If you dropped a little piece on your hand, it would probably go right on through and out the bottom. And so would the OH that was left. That's an alkaline. We also call it lye, the OH.
Oh.
That's a hydroxyl. Right. And that's the same stuff that you pour down the sink in the old days for Drano.
Right.
So you can imagine the caustic effect of that loose in the body. So it has to be snuffed out immediately.
So and how do you snuff it out? That's right?
You find another chemical attached to it. Yeah, all it wants is a mate. It's like a woman just got divorced and she's running around looking for another. A little wild right at
but
first.
How do you do? Would you take so you want to flush out the things that have created the hydrochloric acid that you need to digest food, but these free radicals, as they're called, are left in the body.
These broken pieces that are left over from these chemical process are called radicals, and they're free, and they're just running around looking for a new partner. And so the body provides.
I was just going to say that's what causes the aging, is these free radicals are looking for a partner to suck the things that need to attach to it in your body, the good chemicals, and that those chemicals then start to drain the body of energy and also special chemicals or elements that we need for life.
Absolutely. Well, they're destructive. They grab the first thing in sight, the closest thing they attach. They don't wander around. These processes, as I said, are 100,000 a second. So when they're created, boom, they got to grab. They grab the nearest thing, no matter how important it is to your life. It could be part of your heart, part of your blood vessels, part of your brain, or, all aspects. And so the ones that aren't immediately snuffed out by sticking a stopper in them with a new particle, they attach to something and create damage when they take a piece off of that thing. And over lifetime, it creates effects that we call aging. And the processes no longer function properly.
So you realized that, and then you thought if there was some kind of supplement or something to stop these radicals from ravaging the body. So what was the first thing that you came to that was part of your longevity program?
You couldn't get much in the 50s. You're lucky to be able to get a vitamin. And I just cut the inside out of orange peels to get my first antioxidants. But that went on for quite a while, actually. This nutritional field didn't materialize really well to where you could go into a store and buy something the way it is today until really the 60s and early 70s is when it really got going. And so the very first, I tried different things. Nothing was really what I wanted. The first thing I was able to find was in the early 70s. It was a substance called pycnogenol, and that's an antioxidant that tends to work inside the blood vessels and protect them from damage from the free radicals. And there's an interesting story behind the discovery of the pycnogenol. It dates clear back to the 15 or 1600s. A French warship was attempting to find a Northwest Passage, and they were going up the St. Lawrence River to see if they could get close through to the Pacific from the Atlantic. And they got back in there and got caught in the ice. The winter closed in on them, and they were trapped there for the winter. And the sailors were deteriorating for lack of diet, the poor and adequate proper food, fresh foods primarily. And there was an Indian medical person took them in and cured them by making a tea from the bark of a pine tree that they had discovered and worked out themselves. And that's called pycnogenol nut today. And the captain wrote that into his log, that how his men were saved by this product. And centuries later, a French scientist, for some reason, got access to that log and had an aha moment. He said, oh, my word, that's something we could do today. And so he set about to get it and produce it. And in France, you have to have the FDA kind of a organization approve your supplements. It isn't like here where they're
buying across the...
So he started making this stuff.
What's in the pycnogenol that is so healing and helpful to people? What's the chemical and nutritional...
Well, it's just a chemical thing that wouldn't be, most people wouldn't be interested in, but it's just a certain chemical that attaches, hangs out in the blood vessels and grabs every free radical it can find. It's just so hungry for free radicals as the radicals are to find a mate. See, even though the pycnogenol is a solid thing itself, the chemistry, the nature of chemistry is that even though something is in a certain condition that's stable, it would rather be somewhere else, and something else comes along, it'll abandon its current place and go with get the other. And that's what pycnogenol do. They're floating around in there, and they see this hot radical, and they just abandon their own mate and go grab onto that, and they neutralize it eventually.
So that was one of the first things you did. You know, speaking of this, I remember in the 1980s, someone recommended a product called superoxide dismutase, SOD.
Yeah.
Did you ever get into SOD?
Yes, that's interesting. Seen you mention that. That was my second one. SOD, they call it, the acronym. Superoxide dismutase is a antioxidant that's produced by the body itself.
Right. It was made from cow bovine, I remember. Are you still doing SOD?
Yes. That was my second one. I discovered that was very expensive then, and back in the 70s, $50.
How much is it now, and what's a good product?
Oh, it's a lot cheaper now. And there was an interesting study just came out recently about where they did a study of the amount of SOD present in a person's body, and correlated that with their lifespan, and determined that the extra SOD had a very significant effect on the length of people's lives. Well, that pleased me because I've been taking that stuff for over 50 years.
Who makes a good SOD product? Like, who do you buy? What companies are
you
working
with? Oh,
you
can buy that from, it's just very, very common now. You can buy it at any health food store.
But does it matter? Some people were doing it from vegetable product, and I thought the cow bovine was a much more powerful product, even though they were both called SOD, than the vegetable product. What do you think?
Probably is, because it would be in a biological state that was more close to, a mammal. That'd be similar to a human being, so it'd be a better source.
What company do you use for the SOD, Jerry?
I buy so much of this stuff that I don't do what would be the best way to do. The best way to do would be follow up on what you were hinting at there, that some products are better than the others because of their production and everything and all of that. I take almost 40, over 45. Of those things now. I get one and learn another, and over the years it's grown to that rather clumsy amount, and so I have to buy the cheapest ones I can find. And if you at $10 a bottle, you're looking at $450 a month, and if they're you got a wife, you got 900.
You don't take 45 capsules of SOD, you're saying 45 capsules of all
one thing and another. Yeah, the various things. I started out with a pycnod and an SOD, and then I, you know, ended up with that adaptogens and all the vitamins and minerals.
No, let's go through it. So,
so I buy the cheapest Plex to answer your question, and I go online, and I'm able to buy this stuff pretty inexpensively.
Oh, I see. I see. You find the quality is just as good, even though it's more.
No, I can't say that. I have to, because of the expense.
Mm-hmm.
I have to sacrifice quality or have nothing. So I'd rather take whatever the quality is than not be able to have it at all. In a perfect world, I'd search out and get the best, you know.
What would be the best, you think? But you don't know. You haven't done the research yet.
Well, you have
yet,
to look at all kinds of things. The people that make it have to be certified by certain bodies. Some of the laboratories have certain international bodies that certify these labs and guarantee that the stuff they're putting out has what they say is in it. And then they just check the quality. And so that would be, you know, things like that. You look for those kinds of things. Then you look to see fundamental products you were using.
What vitamin companies do you find are the most reputable, are the most trustworthy? Are there any particular ones that are like Twin Labs or so far?
Dr. Mercola, Mercola. You can get him online, and I'd heartily and totally recommend him to anyone. He puts a daily bulletin out and gets into all of these things very deeply, and all of his products are very carefully monitored in their production, and the sources are monitored and everything, but they're a little more expensive than I could afford. I get what I can, but if a person...
Right.
Had the money and wanted to just pick the best, he would be right up there. His products would be right up. He's a medical doctor, but he's been devoted to this integrated medicine, and he uses that
to Mercola. I think he's one of the best healthcare advisors out there. So let's continue. So you started with the Piaginal, you added the SOD. What else did you notice that was really good for re-energizing your body?
Well, it just goes on and on. You get into...
We're here to learn.
Actually, we got into megavitamins about that time in the 70s. What we call megavitamins, where it'd be prior to that period, we were just doing... the recommended daily allowance, you know, by the FDA, which is an amount below which you'll die. In other words, the method of determining this minimum daily allowance is to keep reducing in a test subject or animal, keep reducing the amount you give them until they die or come down with some dire ailment, then you go back and add a little bit more back, and that becomes a minimum amount below which you'll die or suffer. So that's a ridiculous way to plan your eating, you know, and your food is to eat an amount. We got into mega vitamins, 1,000 vitamin C, 1,000 unit E. And so I do that. I've got into that. I've adjusted that up and down.
Would you say the B vitamins are the most important?
All the B vitamins are critical, and folates and things. The problem with them is that as you get older, it requires hydrochloric acid to get them into a condition that the body can absorb them, and that HCl is in your stomach, and the amount of it is... that your stomach makes as an older person is reduced, and that's one of the reasons you get GERD, you know, gastrointestinal reflux disease, and it's because there's a little flipper in there, a little valve in your stomach that keeps the acid from going back up into your esophagus and burning it up. The stomach has a lining that protects you, and in the cases of what they call heartburn or GERD, which it eventually developed into cancer, that valve doesn't close properly, and the acid gets up in there. And the thing that closes the valve is acid. When the stomach, the valve detects acid, which comes in after eat, it shuts off, you see.
Well, some people say apple cider vinegar is very good for the hydrochloric acid in the body.
That's what I use. I have a bottle of apple cider vinegar, and if any time I get a feeling of heartburn, I just take down a slug of that, and wham, it just neutralizes it right away.
And
there's enough acid in that to close the valve.
But you don't drink that every day? You don't have apple cider vinegar
certain things you eat. I should be taking. There are things you can do to increase the acid in your stomach as you
like
age,
I haven't been
doing that. But
tell us what kind of things can you eat that will increase your hydrochloric acid production?
Well, actually, it's a form of acid itself.
What is the product called?
I can't think of it. They have a different trade name.
Oh, I see.
You know, people ask me about a trade. About this and that? Well, I don't keep track of everybody's all these different trade names of things. I just go for the fundamental basis of it, and I know that there are out there now that you can buy. It's a form of acid itself, but it's a natural form, and you can actually just take it and it's harmless enough to swallow.
What about the product MSM? Have you heard of that?
Really should, huh? I wanted to say that you should do it under integrated doctor supervision, because they can measure your acid level and see what you need and how much the dose would be.
Saying if we're taking B vitamins, we need a strong...
You lose the ability to absorb them. So even though you're taking, if you take 1,000 units, you're lucky to get 500 or 50 even in your body. So there are certain ailments that the B vitamins are crucial for, you know, things like megacytosis, where the body makes the blood vessels too big in the bone marrow, and this is due to a lack of a vitamin B12 and things like that. The B12 goes everywhere. It affects all kinds
of... Okay, let's talk about some of the other products. There's a product called MSM. Have you heard about that? I think it's a sodium-based product. Do you know anything about that product?
MSM is a sulfur. The value in that is sulfur, and the sulfur, that's the S part of it, if I understand you correctly, critical in, for example, vitamin D3. Every cell in your body has and I say D3, not vitamin D. Vitamin D is a man-made, useless substitute, synthetic vitamin. The vitamin D3 is what your body makes itself when exposed to sunshine, and the D3 is, you can take now and buy it, and it's not very expensive. You should take 4,000 or 5,000 a day units probably.
Well, isn't it just better to expose your body to sunshine as opposed to taking a supplement?
Absolutely, much better. Much better. The only way I go out every day. Maybe you notice how tan I was.
You were tan, but I also heard if you're I just heard by exposing your genitals to the sun, you make 80% more vitamin D because of that, you know, the thinner, sensitive
there's
nature
just
of
more
it.
Blood vessels there, the thinner skin. What I was wanting to tell you, though, we're talking about the MSM and the sulfur. The vitamin, even taking the D3, is still not as good, to answer your second question about the sunshine, is not as good as the vitamin D3 that's made by the sun, because the functional chemical that you end up with is a sulfate, vitamin D3 sulfate. In other words, sulfur has to be added to this, and that's where the MSM comes in, and the body will create a sulfur compound with the vitamin D3, and that's the use that it state is actually usable throughout the body. So if you're not taking sulfur, you won't get it.
But if you already have enough vitamin D3 because of your sunshine exposure, you don't need the MSM. Is that correct?
No, you need the sulfur in the MSM. If you're not eating cabbage and things that have sulfur in it, you know, you can get all this stuff from food too. But the quantities that you need. You wouldn't begin to get enough vitamin D3. So the D3 in conjunction with MSM would make sure that you were getting sulfur so you can make the proper compound that would be useful for the body.
So is that part of your daily regime, is the MSM?
Oh, yeah. As much sunshine, and I try to get out there for an hour if I can, but I can't always. And then you have the problem of sun. They say the cancer, you know, melanomas from sunshine, but that's not really quite as simple as it sounds. Proper sunshine will prevent as many as it makes. The melanoma. Melanomas and not come from the damage. If you get damage, burning, then you're creating something that's not desirable. So one way to eliminate that is to take a product called astaxanthin.
What is it called?
It's very
again?
Cheap.
Say that again.
Astaxanthin.
Say that again.
Asta, like a star. Asta. Xanthin, uh-huh. And the Z is actually an X, like Xerox.
Okay.
X-A-N-T-H-I-N, X-Xanthin. This is a fantastic stuff. It's probably the most powerful antioxidant there is to boot, in addition to this sunshine thing. But it also protects the body from damaging sun rays. It blocks certain ones. It comes from a seaweed, a plant that floats around in the sea. And it's exposed to the sunshine itself, and if it gets on rocks and things and low tides, it has to be protected. So it produces this astaxanthin and protects it from the sunshine. The salmon eat it. That's why they're red.
Oh, okay.
If you get astaxanthin, what happened was they were running an experiment for other purpose as an antioxidant in Hawaii, and the subjects they were using were hanging out there on the beach, and they started reporting that they weren't getting sunburned anymore. And so now it's offered as a sunblock.
You don't have
to use a sunblock, which also, if you use a sunblock, you're destroying the whole purpose of going out there. It's blocking all the rays that are doing you good. But with astaxanthin, it only blocks the harmful rays.
You know what I found when I started taking large doses of niacin, which they don't recommend so much, but it also stopped me from sunburning, was the niacin. Have you heard about that?
No, I haven't, but I would certainly accept that as a possibility.
Yeah. I see. That's
never
back
know what the body's going to come up with. Yeah.
So
that's interesting.
That
but I take that anyway, so I wouldn't have known a difference. I've always been taking niacin.
Okay, that's really good advice. So you're saying you get tan, but you don't burn with the astaxanthin, and so your body's absorbing the good rays of the
absorbs
sun.
Absorbs all the healthy rays, yeah. And you're able to just flood. There's a lot of conflict, you know. When anything's new, you're changing the culture of somebody, the medical profession or lawyers or FDA or all those big institutions, the United States government, they all have a culture. They operate in a certain way, and Daddy always did it that way, and that's really good. And anything that you want to change, you have to change that whole culture, so you come into serious conflict with it. And some of it is accurately stated in the case of the amount of vitamin D you should take, and all of a sudden people are saying take 5, 7, 10,000 units a day, and the establishment naturally objects to that and correctly tries to point out the things that are wrong with it, and but that raises the controversies. Opinion now, a study of it is that it looks like 5 or 6 or 7,000 is just it's fine. And the reason I say that amount is you can go out and lay in the sun. I know it's important for me to finish this. You lay in the sun all day, and you could get 20,000 units in the day just from the sun. So
Are you talking about vitamin D3?
Vitamin D3 here.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Vitamin D3 from the sun, and the amount that you could take is around that number, and the number of 5,000 may sound big when it's compared with the 500 that the FDA recommends, below which you'll die. It's not very much compared with how much you get out if you just go out and do it normally, the way you were. We grew up to be, you know, people in primitive times were exposed to the sun all day. And so you can go out there and get 5, 10, 20,000 units in a day from the sun. So I think that the recommendation of 5 or so in a tablet form are not unnatural.
But you still need the sulfur to help
to finish up, to create the product that the body actually uses in the cells. Vitamin D sulfate, so vitamin D3 sulfate is a product that they have receptors. Every cell has a little receptor. It's like a lock, and it only accepts a certain key shape. And the D3 sulfate, it has a certain shape, and it can get in there. And if it doesn't have that, it doesn't get in. So you want to have it as natural.
You know, I really appreciate, I very much appreciate the resource of information and personal knowledge that you have on the subject, because having met you, I can see that something's working there.
Yeah.
So,
I know. Well, on that subject, these aren't just idea. When I take on something, it isn't because I've met somebody I admire and, you know, oh, I'm going to do that too, or because I'm in a group, oh, we're all doing this, you know. Every single thing I take, and because I have a scientific background, is based on published studies that I respect. And if I can find 5 or 10 or more, or sometimes many, published studies establishing the connections, and I go ahead and say, well, I guess I'll try that. And so I didn't discover any of these things. I just read the discoveries. And like I said earlier, I'm just doing it ahead of this lag time. I'm not waiting for 10 or 20 years until it gets out into the public. I figured out the other day, I've read over 2,000 journals in the last few years. Every morning,
well,
I just love it.
That's the important research, because you put it together. We only have about 20 minutes, a little more left on this program. So before, we're out of time, I would love for have you talk about the role of oils, the fatty acid oil, the fatty omega oils, and the role of the amino acids. So let's talk about oils first. What's your research and personal experience with certain types of oil supplements?
Oil is a critical thing, the oil or fats, basically. Omega-3 oils are a form of fat, and they are what we call a medium chain. MCM, medium chain. The fats, chemically speaking, are a string of carbon atoms all strung together with some hydrogen and oxygen attached here and there. And those are carbohydrates. That's why we get the term carbohydrate. That means carbon and hydrogen, okay, and oxygen. And hydrocarbon, by reverse, is motor oil. It's the same thing, only it isn't necessarily quite an organic sub, not something that we have in our body. Living things are carbohydrates. And the length of the chain determines the nature of this product. A very short chain, maybe with only one carbon, is a gas, methane. And you get 2 or 3, and you've got butane. And then you get up longer, and you got pentane and so forth, and you get a liquid, and then you get more.
Okay, so
what I'm saying is that this is important to know this, that the length of the chain determines the nature of the product. And you get up very long chains, you got grease and so forth. But somewhere in the middle there, we have what we call medium chain, and that's what that is. These products are medium chains, and they're very usable by the body and the kind of body it needs, and the chances are you wouldn't be able to take too much of it. And so your diet should consist of up to 50, I would say, up to, in my case anyway, up to 50% of these medium chain carbohydrates, fats, and that would include regular butter, coconut oil, olive oil, and the omega three oils primarily. So if you
Makolo talks about the krill oil. Have you been taking any of the
krill? Well, that's just another form of that's a source. A krill is a little creature that lives in the sea, and they squeeze the oil out of them, and that's he considers that to be a safer source because the fish where we get the rest of it normally, fish oils are omega 3s. They're being contaminated by products that are dumped into the sea, and so they're eating these things, and you end up damage your body by taking them. So the krill is a safer way to take it.
Do you put these coconut oils and olive oils on your food and butter, and then you also supplement that with certain products as well?
The whole process includes a correct diet. You know, what you can't undo a bad diet with supplements. You can slow it down or protect it, but at least you got started from a better base if you've taken your supplements, if you've also fed your body these things. And there are things that go on that are difficult to correct. But there are supplements you can take to make these corrections, like the amino acid L-tyrosine, for example. You can buy that as a supplement, and that's useful for people who want to improve their memories.
How is oil used in the body, from what you know from biophysics, biochemistry? What's the purpose of oil?
Well, from a biochemical standpoint, it's just the fat is critical. And actually, the body was evolved to, or trained, built, however you want to look at it, to operate on the energy from fat, and fat was a storage method. It's highly compressed and energy in a little space, and so you have these things in your body called the mitochondria that convert the fat and other things into energy. Adenosine triphosphate, we call it ATP, and that's the only thing a cell can use. It, no matter what you eat, it's got to be turned to that, or it can't use it. And so this critical transformation was designed to run on fat because that's all that was available. That we didn't have carbohydrates. Sugar was the certain amount of as a six chain hydrocarbon.
So this is the food for the mitochondria. And do you also want to talk about what the mitochondria are? People don't realize that inside our cells there are other littler cells that create our energy in a way.
They're fascinating thing. I've really been focusing my studies on them in the last few years, and they're so critical and so well known. It's another example of something that's vital to us today that you won't read about for another 30 or 40 years. In the sense the way we read about it,
Tell us about it. What are the mitochondria?
Well, they're fascinating little creatures. They're a separate creature, and they live in every cell, and they eat what we eat, and they produce the ATP. And the ATP is a little delivery wagon, and ATP stands for adenosine triphosphate, and tri means three, and three phosphates. And so it delivers this oxygen. A phosphate is a form, has a big chunk of oxygen in there. And it delivers it, and then it returns back to the mitochondria to get a reload. It returns as ADP, which is adenosine diphosphate, meaning only two phosphates are left after it makes this delivery. So it's running up back and forth all day, delivering this oxygen to the cell so it can function. And they depend. There are many of them in every cell, thousands actually, and it depends on what kind of a cell it is. If it's a cell that uses a whole lot of energy, like a heart cell that just pumping away, or a brain cell, it might have almost 50% filled with those things. That cell will be half full, or 40% of these things, pumping out enough energy and oxygen for that cell. And so you can see how important the life of that mitochondria is to our own life. You want to live to be 120, you better keep those things alive. And they live in a...
What keeps them alive? What's the best thing for a mitochondria?
Well, I've gotten ready to... I'm up to about a dozen products. They're relatively simple, relatively, I say, compared with other, you know, biological processes, but still quite complex to an individual just trying to study them. And so what we do, we study the chemical processes, and they've been well studied now for many years, decades, at each step. And the mitochondria go through various stages in making ATP. And in addition, they have their own life to live. They have their own DNA. It's separate from ours. And they're present in leaves and trees, any living thing. So they've been around a long time.
What are some of the products you take that you say that we could that you could recommend?
Well, for one thing, just ordinary vitamins. C is increasingly critical. They all need vitamins and minerals just like we do. And so you could, at the very least, take that just to keep your own mitochondria alive. For another good one is B2 or K2. That's a critical vitamin. Vitamin C is a rather critical vitamin there in the E. The K2 is good, but if you're going to take vitamin K2, you have to be sure you're not taking a blood thinner, because it'll thin your blood, and that's good. But if you're already taking a blood thinner, you want to make sure you work with the doctor and monitor that. But K2 is a highly recommended. Oxalic acid, huh?
I was just also asking about vitamin E, which I find very valuable for me, natural vitamin E, of course.
But you have, when you talk vitamin E, it's really, when you say that, you really need to be more specific when you, if you want to talk about it chemically, because the word vitamin E is used to cover many things.
I would say D-alpha. Vitamin D.
Okay, you say alpha. Now you're getting more into it.
D-alpha.
Let me talk about it for a minute. E is two main. There's they got the tocotrienol is half of it. and the alpha.
Okay.
It's blew out of my mind. There are two, huh?
The alpha and the tocopherol.
Vitamin E, tocopherol, and the tocotrienol, they're two halves of a vitamin, and you can't buy them together. You go in the store and buy vitamin E, you'll always get tocopherol. If you want to get the other half, you've got to buy tocotrienol. And each one of those has four subdivisions, alpha, beta, gamma, and delta, and they leave out the most expensive one. And still, you can leave out all but one and still call it vitamin E. That's why I say you have to be careful. You might have vitamin E with nothing in it, but alpha,
Tocopherol.
You actually only have 1/8 of a vitamin E, and this is important to know because a lot of phony studies are done to disprove the value of E by pharmaceutical companies because it competes with them in certain ways, and so they make a study with a big vitamin E test that actually contains only 1/8 of a product of vitamin E, and then they produce it, and lo and behold, it didn't do anything. And so to get all the vitamin E, you've got to buy both halves, and you've got to get all the alpha and read on the bottle, and it gets more and more expensive as you get more products in there. So when you ask me about vitamin E, when I say vitamin E, I'm talking about all of it, the whole vitamin, not some fraction.
I get it, and thank you for letting us know about that because, of course, we need to do much more further research.
Well, now, you're subject to the companies that, you know, have a financial interest deliberately distort this, and they hurt people by doing that.
Right, and I totally agree. They're just out for the money. They're not out for helping people. The other thing I just want to mention is this: what's in the news these days is the idea of telomeres, which is sort of like the What do you know about telomeres, and how can we revitalize them? It's a kind of reproductive system of a cell, is what I heard. So, what do you take for that?
Is interesting. At the end of each chromosome, I like to think of them. This isn't exactly right, but you can imagine it this way as an analogy: a little string of beads. And that's kind of like the thing at the end of a shoestring that keeps it from fraying, that little clasp they put on the end of a shoestring, except this is a little bunch of beads.
Just want to tell me again, we have a little more time here. So
every time the cell divides, those things, one bead is lost. And when it gets down to the last one, the cell can't divide anymore, and it goes into a senescent state of old age and later dies. But it hangs around in a senescent state and causes all kinds of problems in the meantime. So
Wait, Jerry, one second. I just want to understand. So you're saying at the end of the chromosome, there's a molecule that say that again, because I think I lost that part.
Like a little string of beads, and every time the cell divides, one bead is taken away. And when it gets to the last one, the cell can no longer divide and goes into a state of old age called senescence. And at that stage, it just sits around and pumps harmful things out into your blood system and eventually dies, but it stays in that condition for a while. Anyway, it's something you want to avoid, and you can do it by limiting these things from breaking off as they divide. And one way to do that is with a product called resveratrol. And resveratrol is found in grapes and so on. But you can't.
Is it found in wine products as well? Red wine?
Yeah, wine. But you'd be a drunkard if you tried to get enough out of wine. You couldn't even eat enough grapes. You couldn't hardly eat enough food to glean out the required amount of resveratrol. Best to just take it as a supplement, and it has the ability to slow down the breaking off of the resveratrol at the ends.
Is that the only product for that has the telomere repair?
There is one that you probably don't want to know about. They make a product from China where they take tons of these things that would contain resveratrol, and they extract it out of a ton. They might end up with a few pounds, and it costs $20,000 a year, and it's extremely effective.
It is. Have you ever taken that?
And people are actually buying it because they can afford it. So I'm not recommending it, but if you've got $20,000 you can spend without missing it, then you might want to look into that. It's the most effective product out there.
We're talking a lot about supplements, but what about natural herbs? Have you taken any? I mean, the pinaginol is a natural thing, but
so is the astaxanthin. In fact, most of this stuff comes from foreign, because in the last 10 years, maybe especially the last 5 years, a great many people have gone out into other countries, into the jungles and into the wilds and in Africa and there are various, and coming back with the herbs and ancient rituals and science and herbs that the people have been taking in those countries and places for thousands of years. And so we're being exposed to just one exciting, valuable thing after another. I've given up trying to keep track. When I get one, I put it in my computer and file it in case I ever have that topic come up. I can go there and see what the latest thing is. But you're right. The herbal things from natural products is really where it's all going.
What do you know about ginseng and that kind of Chinese herbal
supplement? Yeah, well, those have been around for quite a while now, and they've got up to a point where they've been in the popular news, and they produce increase the blood supply, especially to the brain. If you want to do a memory thing, that would be one of the things you wanted to get.
The other thing that can you talk a little bit about amino acids and which ones are good and why they're so important?
Well, the amino acids are eight, and they're the eight fundamental building blocks from which everything in the body is made. And so, so we need all of them to do any kind of a job. But it's also been learned that taking certain ones in large quantities has a specific healing or treatment advantage, and so the amino acids are used.
Which ones? Which ones do we need to take in larger quantities?
Well, memory, for example. I think it's tyrosine, if I can remember. Yeah, L-tyrosine. Yeah. There's a form of memory. People say I'm losing my memory, they get older. Well, they're not really. There's a memory test called the MMSE, Mini Mental State Examination Test. And the highest possible score on that is a 30. So if you've got from 27 to 30 in good shape, below that you need some help. But people come in and say to the doctor that I'm losing my memory, and he gives them a test and they've got a 30, yet they're still losing their memory. What they're really losing is their recall time. Is it taking longer? They test out with a 30, and yet they're still having trouble remembering things. But so it's delayed recall is what you're really concerned about improving, and that's possible to do very simply with an amino acid called L-tyrosine. That's L-T-Y-R-O-S-I-N-E, tyrosine. If you take 300 milligrams of that per kilogram of your body weight. There was this big study just done by the Army, and they took a bunch of men out and dunked them in cold water because that might be something that happens to them on the field. And then he tested their memory loss as a result of that, because that's known to function cognitive functions in cold. And they actually lost their memory recall. Their short-term delayed recall was delayed. And so they gave them the L-tyrosine, 300 milligrams, and they had a huge 18% better cognitive test, and their marksmanship even improved by 14% by taking the L-tyrosine. That means they were more steady and focused. So L-tyrosine is an amino acid that's very valuable in improving your delayed memory, and that's what most of us suffer from. We get older. We remember it. We may take 15 minutes and pop back into your head. But the old days of it popping right in as you said it, are there. It doesn't mean you're losing your memory. It means your delay is getting increased. But L-tyrosine will restore that.
Well, and that's just an amino acid. That's very valuable information for people. That's very good.
And there are other things, too, you can take. Bicopa, spoke about a plant. There's a plant that lives on the bank of the Ganges River, and the ancient seers there, they had to learn those, I don't know what you call them right off my head, but in the temples, they take kid children in and teach them these poems.
The Vedas. I think they're called the
really
Vedas.
The Bible. Yeah, and
yeah,
some
the
of
Vedas,
those would have
V-E-D-A.
1,000 pages if you had to type it out. You know, I mean, they were not like a little story. Literally, hundreds of pages to be typed out. And they remember those things word for word. And the way they did to help them do that was to feed them a copa, bicopa, and they would pick it down there along the river. And so that's something you can buy to improve your memory also.
How do you spell that, copa?
It's available.
How do you spell
it? Bicopa, B-Y-C-O-P-A. So I take
B-Y-C-
all these things and bicopa.
B-Y-C-O-P-A.
Yeah.
Bicopa.
You can
get
that.
That's very valuable. Thank you.
So anyway, there are other things like the ginseng you mentioned. A person can put together a group of things that would really snap your memory up, and it's something everybody should be doing. Well, I just graduated. I had to go back to school. I'd bouncing around all my life and never finished, and so I had to take 2 years again to catch up. But I graduated with an A, straight A average, and a summa cum laude, and it's because I take these things.
Wow.
I think.
Well, just name another. What about L-arginine? Everyone's talking about arginine as a supplement.
Yeah, that's an important thing that for the improvement of your blood vessels, the blood vessels have an inner smooth lining, the endothelium, and then they're surrounded by a muscle that tightens them up or relaxes them. And then there's an outer casing, the three levels. And in order to relax your muscle, like in cases of Viagra and all of that, that's what they do. You need nitrous oxide, you know. And that nitric oxide comes from L-arginine that you're talking about. And when you take that, your blood vessels will relax and lower your blood pressure and make a more healthful circulatory system, and it's really important.
So L-arginine is also good for sexual functions, L-arginine. You're saying?
Well, it isn't just sexual. The sexual dysfunction comes from the fact that the blood vessels won't expand, and the blood can't get in there to make a blood, you know.
So the arginine is good for expanding your blood vessels.
So the L-arginine produces the nitric oxide that's necessary.
Oh, the nitric oxide. Okay.
And so the NO does it. So they were testing L-arginine and nitrous oxide for blood for heart problems because, you know, you get lower blood pressure if you got more flexible blood vessels.
Right.
You don't have to
does it work for that?
While they were doing that testing, the men started getting erections, and so they realized that there was another bigger market there than there was in the
And that's how, like, things like Viagra developed.
Many things are serendipitous, you know. Most of our discoveries, they just happen out of doing something else, and something good comes along.
Well, that's good to know. Those are two amino acids you mentioned. Are there any other amino acids that are valuable that we should supplement our diets with?
Oh, there's hundreds. I've spent my life doing it. I couldn't begin to even tap. And even what I know, I can't remember. I have to now file it all in the computer. But there are all kinds of interesting things. Well, we'll talk about the mitochondria that I was telling you about. One of the things the mitochondria requires is a good blood supply, because that's where it gets the oxygen that it fashions into its steel, right? And the blood vessel comes from a product called heme, H-E-M-E, and is what makes the hemoglobin, with the red blood cell. And without the heme, everything fails because it's just lacking.
So that's a supplement you take? Does it come in any food?
Well, what happens there? No, what happens there is the heme gets destroyed. It requires two enzymes to be made along with a whole bunch of other things, but there are two enzymes that it requires in order to make it. And those enzymes are destroyed by the poisons that we get in the atmosphere and in our food and all the basically heavy metals, copper, you know, mercury and cadmium and such.
Well, that's part of, I guess, living healthy.
What happens, almost everybody is having the heme destroyed by these things. You can take a test called the UPPA test, the UPA test. It's a urine periphery profile analysis, but it's available, and they can tell you how many waste products you have in your body and whether it measures the waste, the degree of heme that you have. And if you are lacking there after that test, you can fix it by taking a cleansing chelation stuff that will suck that out of the body, you know.
Well, a natural chelation, or do you have to go and get like an intravenous?
They're all fine. They all work, but there's a, as I can remember what it is, a simple supplement. Something or other. Sorry about that.
Anyway, all right.
Anyway, I don't have it right at the tip of my tongue, but
that's okay.
It, anyway, you can
a little more.
Buy it. It's inexpensive, and it will clean out your body, and it'll suck those damaging metals right out of the inside of a cell, in the brain, and everywhere. No matter where they are, this stuff will take it out. And,
really? What's the name of that product?
Built it all up, and then I couldn't remember.
Take your time and think about that, because that sounds like one of the most, I mean, especially because a lot of people listening are living in cities and around some toxic environments.
We all get it. We all do. In the air and in the food we eat, you don't wash your vegetables, they've been sprayed, you know what I mean. It's impossible.
Right.
Possible to live anywhere in this country without it. And I really feel bad that I can't.
Don't feel bad.
It also causes autism, all kinds of things.
When I post this, I will. Get the name of that
DMSA. I got it. I hear it. I remember.
DMSA. EMSA, that's something you could buy on the market, on the shelves of your vitamin store.
If you want to write it down, it means dimercaptosuccinic acid. It's a chelation material. You can buy it at the health food store. You can buy it at the health food store. DMSA, that's all you have to know.
EMSA.
Over
that's
the counter. You should take one first thing in the morning. If you want to take the test, I don't know if you want to do that or not. There's only one lab in the country that's reliable on this. They specialize in it. It's called the LabCorp, LabCorp.
That's different than DMSO, isn't it?
If you decide you want the test, it's not DMSO, it's DMSA.
Okay.
DMSO is a totally different thing.
You don't take DMSO, do you?
I take some. It's a master hormone. It regulates every hormone is uses that.
But you take just a little bit amount of DMSO.
It's a high. It's not recommend. I wouldn't recommend it for everybody, and because
it's
if you're going to do that,
right?
You really need a doctor. That it's a hormone, and you don't want to unbalance your hormones. All hormones are all connected together. If you have too much of one, the others will go down. You know what I mean?
The
balance
the
of homeostasis is always the same.
I want to talk about minerals. I also want to talk about coenzyme 10.
That's an important CoQ10, they call it. I think that's what you want there. CoQ10, it's a critical enzyme for the mitochondria. They can't function without it.
Is there any food that has coenzyme?
Works in CoQ10 is readily available everywhere, but as its function in the mitochondria is little known. I mean, people that do this know it well, but out in the general public, have never even heard of a mitochondria much as the CoQ10. There's different processes in there. There's one called the Krebs cycle, where you need a substance called oxalic acid. This Krebs cycle is a cycle part of the mitochondria's biochemistry, and it's a critical thing. It's just consuming hydrogen by the ton there, and it uses this stuff up, and it's not that readily available. Oxalic acid. I'm sure you've never ordered any in a restaurant. So you can buy oxalic acid and 700.
It's in spinach. Isn't there a lot of it in spinach? And if you take too much
it's in food. Oxalic acid is also an acid. It might be in fruit like oranges and whatnot. But if you buy a supplement of it, studies have shown that taking it, making this readily available along with some vitamin C, because it needs to complete the function, it can increase the output of the mitochondria by 700% or 900%, I think it was.
But if you take too much, isn't there a danger in taking too much of that? It's forming a carbon.
Well,
it would,
I always have to kid about that when somebody asks me, is too much bad? Yes, too much is always bad. That's why we call it too much. But sometimes too much would be a ton, you know what I mean? It's such a benign substance. You could take too much water and die. Or you could eat too many.
Are you saying oxalic acid?
What I'm saying, that you can buy, this is not readily available. You'd have to look around to find. It's in certain products. I'm putting it into this. I'm trying to reduce all this I'm talking to you about it down into a usable one product that I'm going to hopefully be able to get made and offer to people if anybody wants one.
That would be a valuable resource that I would totally recommend.
I'm in the process. Anybody interested, they could email me and I'll put them on a list.
what's your email? What's the best email you have?
Gerald Mattox, GeraldMattox, Gerald Mattox, at G, as in Gerald, gmattox.net.
Okay. Well, that's good. Now, we're almost finished.
Welcome. Any interest? I would love to, you know, as you saw, I like to talk about my stuff.
You're an invaluable resource, first of all, because it works, as anyone could see by looking at you. And that you've also have the hard science to back it up, and you know why it works, and that's a very good combination of information. What about minerals? What about people are taking salt water to drink from the sea and other kind of mineral supplements?
Salt water has every mineral in it that's in the human body and in the same proportion. So I haven't studied anything on that other than that to know that.
Are you taking any minerals? Are you actually?
I take every mineral, you know, potassium, you know, that you can. Iron.
In what form? How do you take it? What form?
Just a multi capsule.
Oh, a multi mineral. Well, you know, we should do some more shows.
Dr. McCullough has a good one out, and his multivitamin has a good mineral base in it.
I mean,
that's the fundamentals, and everyone should have the minimum of all the vitamins and minerals. That goes without saying. That's been known for a long time. And all these other things I'm talking about, there's hundreds more. I could go on forever.
No, you just mentioned the principal ones, and I think that's a great place to start. Now, just a little bit about diet. Do you ever do any juice cleansing? Do you do fasting? Do you do purification?
Juices are kind of a touchy subject. Everything in a juice, I mean, all the particles other than the sugar are wonderful and are needed. But unfortunately, juices also contain a high concentration of fructose. That's a form of sugar they have. Sugar comes in different forms, glucose, fructose, sucrose, and so on, you know. And the kind we buy at the store is sucrose. And sucrose is half fructose, but it's not all. And this fructose is only mainly found in fruit. So you have to be careful not to get too much. It's so easy to get too much, especially in a juice form. The best way to get
your own juices?
Fruit is to eat the whole fruit. That way, fructose won't come into your body too suddenly.
It's much better to eat the whole fruit than juice it, is what you're saying.
Only because of the fact that you're overloading your body with fructose. And fructose, beyond a very limited quantity, is very bad. It throws the thing we call the fat switch over to sugar. The fat switch is the fat-sugar switch. And your mitochondria have this thing that's been called the fat switch. And it if it flips over to sugar, then you're in trouble. And that's where everybody's is, almost 90% of us.
It's
particularly sensitive to fructose. If you eat fructose, it's liable to flip. If you're trying to get your mitochondria to live on fat the way it's supposed to, and the fat switch is flipped over there, it'll burn fat. And And that's good because it'll keep your body where it belongs in terms of body composition.
Well, if it gets too prone to sugar, it can cause an exaggerated diabetic condition that is depleting.
Well, type 2 diabetes is very common, but that's nothing but a dietary thing, and it's 100% curable by diet. It was caused by diet.
Why doesn't the Diabetes Association of America know that and talk about that?
Well, quite a few people now are well aware of the. They just did an interesting study, a fascinating one to me, where they did a diet on their subjects that no one would want to do, but just for test purposes they did this, and it was very extensively and expensively monitored. They had MRIs and everything. An MRI costs you $1,000 every time you use it, and they checked these guys with MRIs and they checked their liver. And the conversions and all kinds of things, the output of the insulin cells, and in the pancreas, they checked that, and so it was very scientifically done. And what they did, they simply put people on a 500 calorie a day diet. It's almost a starvation diet, and they cured something like 80 or 90% of them of diabetes, even. Type 1 diabetes. This is, pancreas started producing insulin again.
Wow. That's
in 30 days. They did this in 30 days.
I believe you. Wow, that's a great study. As we wrap up.
And then they've got lots of other ones where a diet, similar diet with low on sugar, basically. And Mercola suggests a high fat diet, maybe around 50% as much, and a high vegetable diet, complex carbohydrates, that's uncooked and cooked vegetables, and maybe only a limited amount of protein.
I eat meat. I eat a limited amount of protein. I don't overdo it. I feel like that's really good for my body, a little beef or fish, not too much chicken or pork. But,
yeah, right. But don't – you see, we're on what I call a – zeitgeist. You know what a zeitgeist, maybe it's not coming over very well in the pronunciation. Z-E-I-T, guys.
I know what a zeitgeist is. How are you using that?
Well, I noticed the medical profession goes from one zeitgeist to the next. When I was a boy, they were taking everybody's tonsils out, and then they adenoids, and then they got in, they forgot about that and decided that was bad because they turned out to be valuable for your immune system. And so they start taking everybody's appendix out. And that was the zeitgeist of the day. And that went on for a few years. And they found out that that, too, is a part of the immune system. And so, and now the big zeitgeist is other than the current one is fat, low fat, don't eat fat, especially saturated. That's totally wrong, and they'll be over that soon because we're getting near the end of it. So the fats that I named are important. You should get, and they're very satisfying. But the idea of having to avoid fat is wrong, and you need the fats, and you need a little bit of protein, and the rest of it is good solid vegetables. And there's a lady that just did. Had a fascinating thing. In fact, she's got a YouTube. She's not just a lady. She's a doctor. And she was an MT, and she had MS, you know, multiple sclerosis, pretty serious matter. And she couldn't even sit up. She had it that bad. She had to live in a recliner. And she had nothing else to do, but she was medically trained, so she decided to research everything she could find about the topic. And she ended up, she said, she found two or three. So everything has a common factor, and the common factor, again, back to her old friend, the mitochondria. And she found out that it was lacking certain nutrients. And so she decided she could get those nutrients from vegetables. So she looked up every vegetable and found out how much of this and how much she'd have to do to get the desired run. So she ended up, she eats three heaping plates full of raw salad vegetables, maybe one for lunch, dinner, and supper. And I mean heaping, maybe 4 or 5 inches high.
Right.
Within 90 days, she was sitting up. And within 9 months, she was riding her bicycle. And within 1 year, she was going on a horseback trail ride up in Canada. And now she travels around.
Huh? She was completely cured, you're saying. She was totally cured.
Yes. Just by eating these piled, stuffing herself with these vegetables that had all the minerals and vitamins.
It was pretty raw food? Was it pretty much uncooked vegetables?
The salad, raw, her greens and all of that, you know, she supplemented that with cooked food. And so she attributed that to, you know, getting all those things. But there's something she probably didn't know about that may have been the real cure. And that's something we haven't talked about. I don't even know if we've got time to launch another.
I think we have some time. Let's talk about it if you find it valuable, definitely.
Her real cure might have come from a source that she didn't think about and that is being used for just that purpose, to cure MS and many other things. And that's fermented foods, probiotics. If you can buy a probiotic at the store, you know, S. Acidophilus or something, and you look on the bottle and it says there's 1 billion, you know, of these things in there, and you think, wow, you know, that's a ton. Do you know how many these microflora, we call them, the bacteria that live in the stomach? It's close to 100 trillion. There's only 3 trillion cells in the body. These things outnumber by 10 to 1. So this massive culture that lives in our intestines provides, we live in a symbiotic relationship with them, and they do the most of the digestion, and they produce things that we need vitally. And small intestines contain 80% of our immune system. I don't know if you knew that.
That's amazing. 80%. I didn't know that.
And so if MS is an autoimmune disease. The immune system is attacking the body. And so when you get the immune system out of whack, you can likely get anything. But it isn't just the immune system. An imbalanced bioflora and biofilm, we call it.
Do you take the Acidophilus supplements, or do you also...
Oh. Going beyond that, that's what I'm saying. There's no way you could. What good is a billion? I say better nothing. But a billion can tear.
What do you do?
Fermented foods. Fermented foods. You can get trillions of these things into your body of every kind. You couldn't eat enough. And you don't have to sit down and eat a plateful of it. You can take half a teaspoon with each meal.
Which fermented foods are you talking about? Which one?
Well, there's only one place I know in the country to get it. This woman, and I can't think of her name. She's on the internet, and she sells them to you. She's been putting them up and selling them, and she's little known. And the other way is to find Dr. McGrath. There's the woman that brought this to my attention. It's a doctor, a Russian doctor that's now practicing in Great Britain. And she had an autistic child. And so she searched the literature, and she came up with this fermented food thing for her child. Her theory was that the imbalance in the bioflora was causing the damage. And she believes that this took place with the introduction of antibiotics, who kill all the biofilm in your body, and then your body's unable to function properly. And so she was able to cure her autistic child by feeding it these things. And she has a book she's written, and I could give it to you later, you know the name, but I can't now. You have to write me or something that goes into this. And what I'm saying is, you asked me how where to get it. She gives the formula for the powders to sprinkle on your food to make it in a little crock. You can make enough to last you a month or two because you're only taking a half a teaspoon. Incidentally, it also cleans out the heavy metals out of your body. She learned that sometimes she's given people a half a teaspoon or they start getting sick, and it turned out that the heavy metals were normally live in the fat in the body or within the cells are being brought out and dumped into the blood. And so you go through that same pain that you go through with a normal chelation of some kind. There's a period of a short while where all this poison is leaving your body and it's in your blood. So she cuts people back to a quarter of a teaspoon during that period, and then you have to go back. But that just shows the effectiveness.
Are you saying it's a powdered product this woman makes?
Well, it's kind of like a yeast. You know, if you get the starter, and you can put it on the chopped up cabbage or whatever you want to use, and put it in a little crock, and then wait a few weeks until it ferments, and then you take a half a teaspoon of that with your meals.
Uh-huh.
And she goes into this quite thoroughly in the book. But if you don't want to do that and you want something right away, you could write this girl that's selling the fermented foods in jars.
What's this woman's name? Do you know who sells it in jars?
I think it was – oh, no, I don't have it. I have it in my computer. I told you that, but my knowledge exceeded my ability to hold it. I had to put it away. I'm going to order some of it myself. I haven't tried it yet.
Okay. I would love people listening to – well, they could email you. So you're saying
I'd be willing. As long as I don't get too many. I'm not a business. I'm just a little guy sitting here going.
No, it'll be okay.
I guess I hope I do. I would get a lot. I'd like to see that many interested, and I would answer them all. I would sit down
they could go through my website too. And
let's write you, and then you can forward it to me. Either one, I don't care.
Or I'll post this. If you give me that information under this interview, I will post the information.
Oh, you have
my
permission, and I'll give you. I'll go dig out the name. I have it real handy here someplace.
It's okay. You're going to dig out the name of the woman who makes the fermented foods, but you're also going to dig out the name of the woman who has the powder.
I want to give you the name of both names, the one that really has gone into it. Oh, by the way, I think her name is Dr. McGrath. That's six in my head. I'm probably wrong. McGinnis or something. She's Russian, but she must have married somebody with an American name. She's starting to launch seminars in the United States now to train doctors and other health practitioners in the treatment, learning this to treat all kinds of diseases, autism,
wow,
and anything that the immune system would normally protect you from. And so it's just IBS. A lot of people are around with IBS, you know, and they say there's no treatment. Well, that's obviously the fermented food problem. And when she treats somebody, she goes three generations down because she believes it was caused by the introduction of antibiotics that kill the microfilm. And so she talks about the parents and the grandmother. And has that. The reason this would be, she has to go into the generations, is when a child is in the womb, they have no bioflora. The intestines are clear. And the entire bioflora sample that you get, that you need to live, is provided to you in the birth canal as you're born. And if the mother has taken antibiotics and has a poor collection of these probiotics in her stomach, the child will be lacking. And then we didn't have these things till the 40s. That's when they were invented, and so you can go back a couple of generations and see how, if they had any experience with antibiotics, and you can often discover there was some reason why they were deficient, and the child was deficient, and the grandchild was deficient.
See.
And so,
I mean, this is invaluable information, and I really appreciate your enthusiasm and energy and sharing it. Just tell me, how is your health? I mean, do you have any?
Well,
I'm sure you're. Oh,
no, I don't have. I don't take anything, and
you don't take any drugs. And you're
other
saying
than what I, other than the herbs that we talk about here. Yeah, and I try
and have you been
watch my diet? And I also do an exercise type thing. I just started. But the advantage that people, many people have that are listening over to me is they're so much younger. I didn't really get into that. I was 50 years old, you know, and so I've only had the last years to take the benefit. And most of that didn't occur until really the last 10 or 15 years when we really began to learn and make it. So anybody that starts today... Yeah, and people say I look in my 50s or 60. Well, that's when I started. And so anybody who starts will probably hold wherever they are. They slow it down, you know, and they'll look younger than I do.
It's great to have you as a resource. I mean, you would be a very valuable advisor for people who are interested in beginning because, yeah, something must have just stopped your aging when you started to get into all this product.
Now we can get to where you can even retrogress. One of the things that that I'm going to put in my mitochondria product actually will restore youthful levels. It affects the DNA of the mitochondria to start it reproducing again. So if you look at the mitochondria in an older person, you'll only see a few, you know, and you look at a younger person and the cells half full. And so because they die off, they live in a hot environment, that oxidating business, you know.
Wait, so what's the product to repopulate the mitochondria?
Well, there's something that it's an ingredient I'll be adding to my formula when I produce it. It's called pyroloquinolone.
Pyrolo,
quinolone, or quinolone, quinine, I get mixed up all the time.
Is that something
just look up PPQ, PPQ. That's
the
way you find
it. Can you buy that in a health food store?
No, it's nowhere. I only know of one source, that Longevity Magazine produces it.
Uh-huh.
So, you can't even find it at a vitamin store, and if you go online, you won't find it. But I can get it. They're a wonderful magazine. Anybody interested in this topic should read, because every article they put at least 25 or 30 or 50 scientific citations that they quote at the end of the article. You can read them all yourself. They're a wonderful source to get this original science on this stuff. But anyway, that PPQ has the exciting property of starting to multiply those things again, so that if you're an older person and they're declining, you can give them a kickstart and maybe restore. So you improve the health of your mitochondria. A poor mitochondria, the lower producing. They produce all the energy for every cell, so they're believed by many to be at the very heart of every single disease, the chronic disease there is.
Wow. This has been an invaluable
all scientists agree that decreasing mitochondrial function is at the root cause of the aging process. That's a quote.
Wait, say that again? Sorry, say that again?
All scientists agree that decreasing mitochondrial function is at the root cause of the aging process. As every one of our diseases is associated with aging. So that's why restoring our heme and those and that, what I told you about, and restoring the mitochondria and the Krebs cycle and all that stuff is crucial too.
And thank you, Jerry.
I'm trying to put this all to simplify it for people. I take so many of these things, I gag on them, and nobody wants to do it, and it costs a fortune. And so people say, Jerry, what are you doing? I say, you don't want to know. But now I've set about to put it all into a small formula that would be convenient and inexpensive enough. And I'm excited to see it for my own sake. I'm getting tired of taking all these things.
Well, that would be great. I know you're working with some people to help develop them. Really,
well, I'm hoping.
Super.
Yeah, well, it's a business, too. You got to go find people who want to back it and all that, you know.
I know some people, so maybe some people.
Well, if anybody's interested, I'd tell them to call you. I'd love to hear from you. I'm not selfish. I'll work with them. Anybody that can perform their end.
You want to give your email again? I'll show you. Just have an email.
Tremendous potential. The potential financially is fabulous, staggering, but the potential for doing good and changing people's lives is just overwhelming to me, anyway.
Well, that's the reason. I mean, that's the thing behind. That's why, in a way, your information is so good, because you're not interested in just making money. You're interested in helping people, and that's
My ideal role would be in a business like just be the research scientist. I would like to have enough authority to make sure my ideas got in, but I would like to spend mm-hmm. my time just reading about this stuff and learning and fixing,
well,
making it better.
That might be possible.
That's heaven to me. And then the other people can run a business and you worry about all that, you know. But it takes both. You can't do this without, you know, at some point, here I am wanting to make this, and I can't do it because it costs so many thousands of dollars just for a minimum order. You know?
Well, I think it'll happen. I think I know somebody or a few people listening to this that might
appreciate it, and I'd thank you from the bottom of my heart if you were able to help me over there. Yeah, like you'd be helping yourself and a lot of other people in the process too. I can guarantee you that.
Well, I think there are people that want to do that. They want to help, and well, I want to thank you for being a guest today on New Realities and sharing your passion, your lifelong research, and the amazing results in your own body that you've gotten from, you know, this kind of experimenting that you've done, this alchemical.
That's pretty much. I've been a gigantic one-man experiment. But my wife's benefited, and this is a fallout from this, isn't is also visible.
And she's in great shape too, isn't she, your wife?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she takes the same things you take, huh? And she's been doing really well.
Yeah, well, without her, I probably wouldn't get it done, because she gets them all out. You know, getting 45, opening 45 bottles and putting them around in little piles, that's woman's work.
Well, she does that every day for you, huh? That's very nice of her.
Well, she's a good gal. We've been together 47 years now.
Right. That's a nice, long
relationship.
52.
We were together 5 years before we were married, so we've been together for 52 years.
Well, there you go. Jerry, thank you again.
Thank you,
Jerry.
Alan. I loved it, and thank you for having me on.
Well, this will be online for people to listen to again, because there's so much valuable information here that people can listen to it again and again and again.
Great. How do you get to archives? You go on your station.
I'll send you the link on DBS Radio. Also on my website, newrealities.com. I have two sections. I'll list it under, health.
Newrealities.com.
Yeah. Give me
I repeated that. Waved my hands at my wife so she'd write that down.
No, but I will send you the direct link.
And my granddaughter's here. She's the one you met that's introduced me to all these wonderful people that think like I do up there at the meeting.
Well, it's finally great to meet people that think like you, isn't it?
Yes, it sure is. I thought I was all alone.
No, there's a huge audience wanting to hear what you've learned.
Yeah,
I
can see that.
You know,
that's heartwarming to me.
Yeah, well, You've done the hard work. I mean, what you've shared today.
I just did it because I was enjoying myself, to be honest with you. But it did.
Well, that's the only reason
it was,
to do anything.
If somebody set out, they'd have to take another 30 years anyway.
No, you've done 30 years worth of research that now people can benefit from, and they will if they even start taking just a few of the products that you mentioned here today. You know? So, and then maybe we'll do another show at some point on just a total thing about diet, and then we'll.
Well, I have my program actually involves three areas, and each one of them is similar to this. They have an in-depth study of the latest and interesting aspects of it. One is diet, and one is exercise, and I think a lot of people would be interested in some of the things that I've found out about those things, too.
Maybe in a couple of weeks we'll do another series of programs on exercise and diet, and then, of course, we could do one on your spiritual philosophies at some point, too.
This is also my goal is body, mind, and spirit, and I have some. Well, you heard all what I have to say about all those other things. We talked about it, you know. And there's some interesting work done too on that from a scientific standpoint. The spiritual things that I know that some of your people would be interested in. I approach it all from a scientific point because that's where I began, you know, but there's a kind of a chasm between science and the spiritual kind of people. But I think I can bridge this now with scientific things that would be acceptable by both sides.
Jerry,
I'd like to try it out on
a
few people anyway and see what they think.
We're going to do a whole show about that when you're ready to do that. I should sort of wrap it up here because...
All right. Anytime, you're in charge.
No, the radio station's been nice to give us a little extra time here, and then, but I wanted
some
to
extra
say,
time, you say?
No, we had a little extra, I had some extra time here on the station for us to kind of go deeper, which was nice of them. But I just want to tell people I've been talking to Jerry Mattox, Mattox, and, should I just have him write to me, or should you want to put your email out there?
Yeah, when they write to me, it's Gerald. My official name is Gerald. All my friends call me Jerry, and I welcome Jerry from any listeners. But when the email address is GeraldMattox@gmattox.net.
All right. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Alan.
And we'll be in touch anyway, and I'll call you after the show, okay?
Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah. Sure. Looking forward to it. See you.
I just want to thank everyone for listening tonight, and today I've been talking to a really amazing person who's really put the hard research into longevity and is a living proof of... his research that this works, and just by taking a few of these products, you'll already start to revitalize your whole level of vitality and life and energy. So this has been New Realities with Alan Steinfeld. If you want to reach me, go to newrealities.com or email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Doug and Don at BBS Radio. We'll be in touch. Good night.
Thank you.